This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to deviate away from some of the Packers chatter when it comes to the NFL draft and get back into the big game coming up this weekend. The Boston Celtics coming to town to the Fiserv Forum noon tip time Central Time down there as the Bucks get ready to go into round two against Boston. And this is the nemesis from last year. They feel like they owe them something. To talk more about it, from Radio.com Sports, Brian Scalabrine, a guy that's played for the Celtics, won a championship there as well. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
We're doing pretty well. Kind of anticipating this series. We had Malcolm Brogdon on earlier this week. He's not going to play, at least in the first couple of games of this one, but says that this is one that the Bucks kind of circled and said, hey, if we're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, we want to do it through Boston. So give me your breakdown of this series between these two teams.
Well, it's really interesting because I think Malcolm Brogdon being out does give the Celtics a chance to steal 1 and 2. Here's where I feel like the Bucks are still not proven. Can they win a close game down the stretch? Like, do they have that money player down the stretch? I thought Malcolm Brogdon was one of those guys. Like, he doesn't seem to be bothered by the pressure of late game situations. You know, Giannis is great, but the last 2 minutes he's had his fair share of blunders. So I think the only way the Celtics are going to win a game in Milwaukee is to keep it close. And then Kyrie, who has done it before, obviously at the biggest level, Game 7 in Oracle to win a championship, he's the guy that could step up at the end of a game and knock down big shots. But as far as like what the Bucks are, to me they are the best team in the NBA for the first 46 minutes. I love the way they play up and down, ball moves, they shoot the three. They don't seem like they have a lot of weaknesses, but the playoffs can become a slugfest, and Kyrie does really play well in those situations.
Now, you know as well as I do, they kept talking about, well, once we get to the postseason, and sometimes it's hard to flip that switch. It certainly seems like, for the most part, the Celtics flipped that switch against Indiana.
You know, I'm not going there yet. I just think Indiana, without Victor Oladipo, they're not really a playoff team. I think we could say the same thing about Detroit without Blake Griffin. I mean, they are barely there when he is healthy. So both of these guys have not been tested. Milwaukee, and, you know, they haven't won a playoff series since 2001. Am I right by that?
Correct.
Yeah, so even that win against Detroit, you know, that's fine. Pat them on the back as much as you want. But that's not really, like, getting it done against a hard-nosed playoff opponent. We're seeing some of these series, you know, the Denver-San Antonio series going down the wire. We're seeing even, like, the OKC-Portland series. We're watching these things, and we're saying, like, man, these series are hard-fought. Everything matters. I think a lot of possessions didn't matter in the Boston series as well as the Milwaukee series, but it's going to get back to that right away, which is every possession matters, every turnover matters. Every time, you know, you take a bad shot and the other team gets out and knocks down a transition three, those things are going to really matter.
What is, if you're going, because you've been there, done that, what are some of the keys? I mean, you talk about having a possession matter, maybe late in a ball game matter, but when you kind of know, when you kind of feel it, when you know it's coming together, what is that like?
Well, you mean from my perspective?
From your perspective. I mean, you've been there, done that.
Well, I think the biggest thing is when you don't, and the Bucks sort of had that this year throughout the regular season. They could play bad and still win by 12, 15. You know, they just pull away at the end. They could, you know, and I think that's where when we were at our best, 2008, won a championship. I've been to four finals. And it was amazing the amount of games that we would win where we didn't play well. Like, we didn't shoot the ball well. You know, defensively, we weren't locked in, but we'd come up with a big play, a big stop. Superstars, you know, make that extra pass to a guy for a cutting layup versus, like, force a tough shot. You know, low turnovers late in the fourth quarter, you know, eke out a game. So I think, I think the Celtics did not have that this year during the regular season. But if I said of any team out there that look like they had it, it would be the Milwaukee Bucks. They have the unbelievable superstar who plays hard every possession, and it's a hard guy not to like. They have a bunch of role players that are also, they're superstar role players. They're not just like middle-of-the-road guys that no one knows about. Like, Middleton is a big shot maker. Bledsoe can do amazing. Like, when he's at his best, he's really good. And I'm a huge fan of Brogdon just because I think it's underrated to be solid. So the Bucks team, to me, they have these, you know, a tough night where you're three games in four nights and you're on the road and you figure out a way to win the game. The Celtics have not done that this year. So when it comes to the it factor, the Bucks definitely have it more than the Celtics. But Celtics are pretty loaded up when you talk about offensive talent from top to bottom. Like, you know, their top eight guys, they can really at any moment really go off.
Talking with Brian Scalabrine, the 2008 NBA champion with the Celtics, also with Radio.com and the Sports Insiders there. So as, you know, the Bucks move forward, obviously, into this series, the one thing that I've been saying all along is, yeah, like you said, it's great to beat Detroit. And even Malcolm Brogdon said, it's great, but they're not celebrating anything because they feel they're so much better than just getting through the first round of the postseason, which was the expectation at the beginning of the year. So that being said, is this your proving ground? Is this where you can finally go, okay, the regular season, that first round, okay, this is all for real if they indeed get past Boston?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Bucks are – I think if they get past Boston, they're going to the finals. I just – like, Toronto, if you – like, going into it, which you wouldn't care if Toronto was playing Boston, I think Toronto would beat Boston. But if the Bucks happen to win this series, I think that this is their punch in their ticket. And in a way – I would kind of be really interested in watching them with home court advantage against the Golden State Warriors. Like, you would have to really think about picking, you know, the almighty Warriors, if the Warriors are the team that comes out, which they're also in a dogfight with Clippers right now. So this is it to me for the Milwaukee Bucks. They have to figure out a way to get past Boston. And then, so how do they do that, right? It's, for them, they have to win four games. Obviously, we know that. But they have to be good in transition for four games. They have to be low turnover for four games, and they have to fly around on the defensive end, and they got to do it for four games. You know, they can't have one of these nights where hey, they're just not pushing the ball or they're not making multiple efforts defensively. If they do that, and, you know, let's say they don't win a game in Boston, but they just take care of business at home. If they do those things, they run, they're low turnover, and they fly around on the defensive end, they will beat the Celtics. But all the Celtics have to do is, I think, one game on the road, they have to, like, kind of make it a slugfest, slow the game down, make Milwaukee, you know, walk the ball off the floor. They have to make them turn the ball over, get a little frazzled, and then Kyrie Irving has to come to the rescue. So, I understand why the Bucks are favored in this series. But it only, I think, it's one game at Pfizer Forum that the Celtics need to steal.
Here's the other question. Al Horford, the time they beat them in Boston, Horford didn't play. How big of a difference is he? He seems to be a Bucks killer, or at least he steps up big against the Bucks for whatever reason.
Yeah, and defensively, he's one of those guys that can guard Giannis. I mean, as best as you can, he gets the idea of – I don't get how most people think you – it's funny, you walk around the street and you hear about Giannis, just sag off him, let him shoot. Like, don't you guys watch the game? You sag off him, the guy takes two steps and he's getting to the front of the rim. He's not, like, settling for the jump shot. So Al Horford has this idea, like, he plays him tight so he doesn't get that full head of steam, but he's doing it so he does it. Not because he's trying to take away the shot. He wants him to shoot, but once Giannis gets it to his two steps, whether it's a Euro step, a power, slow yo step, I mean, whatever he's doing, he's getting to the front of the rim, and if he misses, he's tipping the ball back in. So I think Al Horford's so important because of his ability to guard Giannis. Like, my guess is they'll play him minute for minute on Giannis, which is a really good thing for the Celtics because they got out of that Indiana series pretty cleanly, and Al Horford got a week of rest. He is the older guy in the matchup. He's the one that's you're gonna see slow down as the series goes on, more so than you'll see Giannis.
How much does coaching play into this? Budenholzer has done a terrific job in just kind of taking the pressure off and letting them relax and saying let it fly, shooting a bunch of threes. But you get into X and O's and half court games and such. How much does coaching play into this?
So this is really interesting because I'm interested to see what Budenholzer does. When Brad Stevens plays against a team that rotates. So if you follow the Bucks, you know on drive, dribble penetration, sometimes they come off the corner shooter. I think they're one of two teams that actually do that. So that's tough. Like, being in rotation all the time is tough. They do have the personnel to do it. But as the year has gone along, they have been switching more. So I don't know what we're going to see. At times, they help off the corner and they're in rotation. And if that is happening, advantage Brad Stevens, advantage Celtics. But if they switch a lot more, to me, that's going to be advantage Bucks. So they have all these multiple guys that can guard, and, you know, like the Celtics do have some isolation players, but it's not what they're best at. What they're best at is getting a team in rotation. If you totally remember back to that, it was very early in the season where the Celtics knocked down like 25 three-pointers, and they basically did it by just like taking a good shot and making the extra pass and making it a great shot. Well, that is like Brad Stevens. That is the Celtics at their finest. But from then to now, I get it. It was early in the season. Budenholzer hadn't really established his defense of who they are, and they sort of figured that out. They do fly around, but if they're rotating, my guess is that Brad Stevens will have the advantage. If they switch defensively, my guess is that Budenholzer and all the other the fun things he does on the offensive end, the driving kick, the space, Lopez for three, I think he would end up having that advantage.
Brian, great stuff. Looking forward to the series, and I hope you're right. I hope the Bucks are the better team and they end up coming out victorious, but they need to get this monkey off their back. Always good to chat. Thanks so much for coming on, okay?
You got it. We'll see you.
Appreciate it. Brian Scalabrine. He is the 2008 NBA champion. He was with the Celtics at the time. Now part of our group with Radio.com and the Sports Insider. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.